One, two, three. Boy, a lot of letters are coming for Rashi. Oh, I'm sorry, to Mr. Rashi Lee Mountain Gorilla Kong Dini.
Yeah.
His Esquire. I'm sorry, that's his full name.
Oh, they forgot his christened name of Banana.
Oh, but, Banana. Yeah, right. But boy, he's got quite a lot of them here. A lot of them are from England, actually. You know, we're going to England next week. And,
yeah, I'll take my mail, please. Thank you very much, if you don't mind.
Rashi.
Thank you very much.
What are, I noticed there's one there from a James Moriarty professor.
Yeah, yeah. That's not addressed to you, so therefore it is none of your business.
Oh, well, that's a rather ominous return address. Why are you writing to, there's another one, Ernst S. Blofeld?
Yeah.
And the other one here is V, and in quotes, he who must not be named.
Oh, that one's mine.
Oh.
He's an old pen pal of mine from school.
Oh, yeah, your boarding school days. But these others kind of distress me, Rashi. What do you, you know, what's the story with those?
Yeah, well, I just started a supervillain consulting service, and these guys apparently need a little help. Hey, look at the size of the check in here from Moriarty.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
God, there are more pounds in that check than there are in me.
Yeah, wow. I know. I'm going to put it on some noodles and eat it for lunch.
Write those cold openings, but we don't.
No one does.
Sit and improvise. Paul's like, hey, I got an idea, and we just improvise our way through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Improvise yourself. My every single move I make is completely planned and strategized before it's executed.
Was that fall planned, Rashi?
All part of the grand scheme, Ma.
Well, you know, he can retcon it into a plan, even if it, when things go awry. He's very adaptable that way.
Yeah.
Oh, did we say hello? Hi.
Oh, hi, everybody.
I'm Paul Dini.
I'm Misty Lee, and today we have with us...
Emily.
And Ezra.
Yay, everybody's here. And Deuce and Muggsy are, of course,
Deuce and Muggsy and Superica and Rashi, and Hobart is running around. Hobart is very excited.
About what?
Well, we're going to England next week. Actually, Superica, Rashi, and I are going to England now.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, well, Rashi has set up all these weird clandestine business meetings with kind of shady types, and Superica is taking Hobart out to get a date.
What?
Well, you know, he's a male thylacine, and every few years the thylacine goes into the mating period.
He's getting lonely.
Yeah, he's very lonely, and there are no females for him that are readily accessible, maybe, perhaps, ever. But there are quite a number of stuffed specimens over in British museums, as Australia was part of the Empire. And
that
so,
is gross and disturbing.
Well, it is, but Superica, are you really...
See, I have arranged a tour back at the British Museum for me and Mr. Hobart, who is wearing a raincoat.
I see him wearing a raincoat there.
No, don't leave him at the bus station.
Yeah.
Like Paddington.
Yes, please look after this wolf. So you're going to take him in and under guise of a tour of the British Museum, you're going to let him loose on a stuffed specimen.
Yes, so he can do his business.
No. He's staying home with me. Well, that is not going to happen. You know what? I don't want the wolf, whatever you are, dear, to be frustrated.
We already got him a Sky Kennel.
A what?
We already paid for a Sky Kennel for him.
Well, if that's the case, then go with God. I just want you all to know that I do not approve of this disgusting activity.
Poppy, did you get me bail money?
Bail money? You're actually counting on getting arrested?
See?
Well, at least he plans ahead.
I told you, lady, all part of the scheme.
I mean, we'll need bail money for him and his cadre of super thugs, but I didn't think the baby here, the innocent one, would be conducting atrocities.
He is an excellent trainee.
By the way, did you see what he did with that fall in the kitchen? He's taken it upon himself to destroy your meatloaf.
I told you,
sir. Well, okay. Send Deuce and Muggsy, and they'll look it up.
Yep.
Okay. Well, here we are. Another one. We got some great responses for the Mark Evanier shows.
Yeah, we did.
Awesome.
Best ratings ever.
Yeah. So to say.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That's really nice.
Yeah, and you know that's the thing is Mark is an unending source of of stories. In fact, today on his site, News For Me, I just read another story that I never read before that was great. It was why he hates, and I mean hates drive-ins. What? He has never had a good time at a drive-in.
Oh, man.
Because the sound is so crappy, and apparently somebody was walking around yelling for their wife and everything. And
well, he must have loved your Joker story.
What?
The one where he pulled into the drive-in and took care of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was a drive-through.
Oh, drive-in is the movie.
The movies, which you hate, too.
I do hate that, because the last time we went, some dude took it upon himself to whiz on our tire.
Yeah, and they were...
While you were in the car or watching
the
movie?
Yeah, we should have taken that restroom sign off the top half of the car.
You know, I mean,
the guy just, like, whipped it out and started peeing on our car.
I'm of two minds. On the one hand...
Open up the car door on him.
We stopped him.
When I read Mark's
ridiculous.
Article... When I read Mark's article today, I was going, oh, Mark Evanier, you're such a fussy man. The drive-in is wonderful. And then I remember the reality. The drive-in is horrible.
Yeah, it's not okay.
Yes, but I want to go this summer.
Always you do.
Mission Tiki Drive-In. Because in my mind, there's the idealized drive-in, the wonder drive-in, where it is nice and the food does not suck. Mm-hmm. And the people are nice and they stay in their cars. And the movie's actually good.
And everyone's in a nice car and quietly watching the movie as the very well-designed and quite appealing concessions dance across the screen.
Yes.
And entice you to go and buy them. Let's all go to the
lobby and get the treat. Uh-huh.
I heard play at the
Vista
the other day.
I love
the
Vista
Theater.
When
you were watching Pirates.
Even when the movie's crappy, the theater's great. Mm-hmm. The Vista in Hollywood. No one go there because it's like our private theater. All the blockbusters go to the, you know, come to the Vista. It's on the corner of, I'm not going to say.
It's on the corner of nowhere and nothing.
Nowhere, yes. Oblivion and You're Lost Here streets.
It's the funny name theater at Made Up Place, Hollywood, California.
Yes.
To steal a joke from our friend Mark Evanier.
Yes. And...
But anyway, you were talking about drive-ins, yeah. Mark Evanier. Anything else you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, and he brought back all the memories of why the drive-in is really crummy to go to.
Oh, great.
But I think the thing is, like, if you go to the drive-in, you have to be ready for a crummy experience. I went all the time in college to the, I think it was the Swampscott drive-in down in Massachusetts.
What a name.
Yeah, it was on near Swampscott, near a swamp.
Swampscott.
And the only reason you went was to go with your friends and you know, harass people in the other cars and mess around and throw things.
So you were that asshole at the drive-in.
I was that asshole.
Everything miserable.
It was like...
That's what you get.
It was me and Steve Langford and Graham Toon and a bunch of other guys. And we'd always just go down there and we just, you know, just whoever had a car, we'd drive, let's go to the drive-in, you know.
It's
like
cheap entertainment.
81, 82, they still had
drive-ins. When I was a kid, it seemed like it was even cheaper because you tune into the radio station to get the movie, and most movie theaters, you can park alongside of them and usually see what's going on. So
yeah.
You can't see, it's like a radio show.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's a cool action sequence. Yeah.
My favorite drive-in, I never saw the pictures there, but I like the idea of this drive-in, is in Northern California... On the way to the Russian River, on the way to my dad's club, you know, you go through a rural area, and there is a drive-in in the middle of nowhere near Dairy Country, and it's for X-rated movies. It's an X-rated drive-in way out in the middle of nowhere in, I guess
where
it's
are they facing
like,
the screen.
Well, that's it. It's like, you know, you see like X-rated drive-in and it's down a field and then there's a dairy farm and you look at the cows are all
the cows are really enjoying that.
Mad cow.
Yes. Yeah. That's where they get the laughing cow cheese.
Yes, yeah, apparently. Apparently so.
That's funny.
And but when we tried to see Pirates of the Caribbean a few years ago, one of the Pirates movies, it was sold out and we had to go back.
Yeah, after waiting in a 45-minute line to get access, you know, you finally get up there and they're like, oh, yeah, no, you're not getting in. And we were like, oh, my God, really? And she was like, oh, yeah, no.
Now, you can see a movie
in.
With Reese Witherspoon getting married or a movie about a big crocodile.
Or I can it's just like, give you this gun. You can shoot yourself in the head. I'll take the gun, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, God.
Well, isn't Reese Witherspoon a big crocodile to begin with?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all right.
No, it's like... But it doesn't matter.
There's I'm sure she's very nice.
Yes.
I remember the last drive-in theater experience I had. My parents went to see some Madonna movie, like Who's That Girl or something like that.
Yeah.
And the other side of the theater, because it was like this circled drive-in theater, so like five different screens, was playing He-Man Masters of the Universe. So I was watching that one.
God bless you.
Watching,
yeah,
Madonna. It was an awesome experience.
But you couldn't hear He-Man.
I've never seen a drive-in movie theater.
What?
I've never seen
you have
I don't
to go.
Know where they are.
Mission Tiki. Mission
See,
Tiki Drive-In Theater out
Take
near
the
Pomona. I don't know how good
and
the
there's an X-rated one apparently in
yeah,
the field
apparently.
And a bunch of cows go.
Bunch
what
of horny
are
cows.
For? Why are we here? Let's get in the car.
Yeah, like I don't know too many that exist. Where are you said?
It's a, what, where's the drive-in?
His face is bright pink.
Well, the dirty drive-in is up in Marin, north of Marin.
No, where's the regular one?
I think it's out near
Pomona.
Yeah,
yeah, because that's what you want to know
well,
about.
Well, Marin, I already know about that one.
You've got to avoid cow tipping in that area.
Ew.
And Hobart, he's on his way.
At least wash your hands right after, right?
Hobart's on his way up there. It's like, I'll take a cow instead. They're in
the
mood.
Hobart, that's bogging me out.
Oh, all right. Well, he's the last of his species. He needs some love.
No, stop.
Hobart, don't you
hey,
need some
you know
love?
All you're doing is perpetuating my sickitude.
All right, okay.
Stop.
All right.
Yes, I just said that. Don't look at her like, did you hear that perpetuating her sickitude? Because Emily heard it. Oh. So did they.
All right. I saw him looking at the stuff.
Stop it.
The stuffed grizzly bear.
It's not okay to keep going. It's not okay.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Jeez.
I'm just saying.
So what'd you do today, sir? Tell these people what you did today so we can get into these questions.
What did I do today?
What did you do today?
I just sat at home and wrote.
I'll tell you what I did today.
Oh, well, you Ooh. Tell us.
I worked with Stan Freberg, Frank Welker, Frank Ferrante, Wally Wingert, Greg Berger, and a bunch of other people who cannot be named because
Very
I'm under
cool.
an NDA.
Yes.
I had two recording sessions today.
And you work with some of the legends.
I
that sounds today. Amazing.
It was a masterclass. Yeah. It really was. Yeah. I was sitting in and being paid to take a masterclass. And I thought, what am I doing here? And then Frank Ferrante is doing Groucho Marx. And it's flawless and it's effortless. And these guys are just, it was like watching the world's greatest musicians play their instruments and just musically improvise. It was like the early days of jazz.
I was telling you earlier, you know, like...
And Freeberg was in there. Did
Freeberg?
I mention Freeberg?
You mentioned him, but you didn't say what he did.
Oh, he was doing Freeberg.
He was doing Freeberg.
One take Freeberg.
Awesome.
Bing, 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 bing. He's been doing this so long. He was hysterical. And I'm listening to this guy deliver lines and just things that he would do with words like mysterious and cold read.
Yeah.
And he's just nailing it. And I'm thinking, holy Christmas. Just, what am I doing here?
I'm the only
broad in the room, and I'm going, what am I doing here?
You're doing a great job, obviously.
Oh, you're nice. But it was truly a privilege, and hey, thank you to Mark Evanier.
Yeah.
So you know what? He has become the Scott Adsit of the podcast. So let's see, what else did we do today?
Actually, I did want to say one thing, and this is me kind of, this is what a variation of what I said before, you know, when you were first talking about the session, that I really... I think it's wonderful that you get to work with these people because this is me getting a little goopy, but when I was a kid, I used to listen to old time radio in San Francisco. They would play it late at night, and KSFO in the 80s would play old time radio, and then they have comedy album time, and it was always something like Cheech and Chong, Bob and Ray, National Lampoon, but they would play Stan Freberg stuff. And I always liked his stuff the best because just so creative, so much fun. You know,
Stan Freberg, who invented the phrases, but wait, there's more.
Yes.
And operators are standing by. Call now. Stan Freberg invented those phrases.
I can't believe that.
He was, you don't have to believe it, but it's true.
Yes.
And he also, and there's another little interesting ad thing that'll stick in here in a minute that has to do with Paul Dini. But he was the pioneer of funny advertising. Because it used to just be this stentorian, believe me, because I sound smart, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of, you know, Gary Owens type voice. Mm-hmm. And Stan
before
changed...
Before Gary Owens.
Yeah, before Gary Owens. Yeah. And Stan changed the face of the advertising industry by being creative and saying, this can't be fun. Of course it can.
Exactly.
Interesting advertising anecdote. Paul's dad is the one that wrote Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Yep.
Really?
Did you know that?
To this day, stuck in my head.
Uh-huh. And now it's going to be stuck all day.
Yep.
It's been stuck in there for 32 years now. So.
All right. Are you 32?
Yeah.
You're old man.
But I just wanted to say,
thanks.
I wanted to get back to, if I may, that, you know, when I would listen to, like, Stan Freberg presents the United
I'm
States of America,
you.
You know, like his great albums and stuff like that. St. George and the Dragonette and all those, I would go.
That was him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I would
I would go, boy, imagine, you know, like working with this guy. Imagine how much fun it would be. Like,
I'm starstruck.
There's a History of the United States Part 2. You know, when's that coming out? Wouldn't it be great if I was a comedian and I could work with him on something like that? And then, you know, years go by and, you know, you have these, you know, kind of, you know, weird dreams that a kid has. And then the dreams kind of change a little bit. And I was drawn more to writing. And when I wrote on, you know, for Warner Brothers cartoons, for Duck Dodgers and Tiny Toons, we would bring Stan in to do voices. And, you know, you get to work with him then. You know, it's like, hey, I wrote Pete Puma dialogue for Stan Freeberg. Or some... Or the Goofy Gophers. Oh, no, you go first. No, you go first. Oh, I insist, you go first. And then it's sort of like, okay, that's fine. And then you get to work with him.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
I just love to watch him. Yeah. He is just brilliant. And he brings in... You know, I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and we were having lunch, and she was talking about how she kind of has to put up a layer of white noise because there's this woman that she works with that just kind of sucks the energy out of the room, and she doesn't want this lady to take her energy away, you know, because it's just, lady's kind of a drag.
Energy vampires
are
everywhere.
Yeah, sort of, you know, the woman she works with is just miserable, and this person is really upbeat and super cool and, you know, really excited, and she's like, how do you, you know, stop that? But we were talking about it, and we were saying that you really are responsible for the energy you bring. You know, like you're bringing something with you like a backpack and you get to choose what's in it. So choose to have a good time. Choose that everyone looks forward to seeing you because it doesn't matter what you left behind the studio. You can pick that back up when you go outside.
Yeah.
But when you're in there, don't bring it. And nobody really does. You know, like when you're working. But Stan Freeberg, man, whew, he brings the best. And he brings his A game. All these guys do. They bring their A game every time. Positive energy. Everyone's laughing. You know, Fred Tavishore?
Yeah, he's great.
Killing us. He was hysterical today. And I mean, it's just such a privilege to do this for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and a cute little interesting anecdote that will dispel one of the theories of the voiceover business. They always tell you you can come in your pajamas. Well, this morning I went into my other project with wet hair and they put me on live camera. Oh, hello. It would have been nice to know about that. So you cannot go do voiceover in cutoffs and flip-flops.
No.
Don't do it. Because that one day you do that. Oh, by the way, we're rolling B-roll as an ad for the show. So we hope that's cool because we're going to get y'all. Oh, you don't have makeup on? That's all right. Nobody will notice. Yeah, nobody will notice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you
aired
cannot.
In front of 30,000 con members or something.
That's exactly what's going to happen with us too, from what I understand. So, but I will tell you, it was super fun. And it was really exciting. And I'm thrilled to be on the project. And I rarely do on camera. So... It was kind of neat to be interviewed for something I was doing.
But
you can't come in bunny slippers and PJs.
Actually, on Superman, Perry Gilpin came in and cut off some flip-flops.
That's where I got the example from.
Yeah.
Because you told me that.
And
but Perry Gilpin and I would look very different in flip-flops and cut-offs. But Perry is smoking hot.
Well, it looks like she just came from the beach or something, which she probably was. It was
she probably was. She's an outdoorsy girl.
Yeah. And
Perry is one of the reasons she's been trying to talk us into having kids.
Oh, really?
Years. She's like, oh, do it. Yeah, she's so sweet.
But, yeah, that would be...
Yes, she's not very persuasive, apparently, because don't have any, but...
You got some dogs. Like,
we've got dogs, yeah.
I think her next question would be, well, would you mind mine for the weekend?
Yeah.
Can I drop mine over?
She's got the most beautiful little girls.
Oh, beautiful. They're daughters.
So
pretty. Yeah.
Where were we? Were you done talking about Freeberg? Because I kept interrupting you. I was so excited.
I think so. Hey, maybe now we should take some questions.
Yeah.
To round out the podcast.
Yeah.
Are we ready? Roll the music.
Questions from the fans.
I put out the word a little bit earlier because there's been some sort of interesting things happening in the world of animation.
Comics.
And comics and things this week. So let's see.
Yeah, it's been very exciting on all the blogs.
Shake it up like a snow globe, baby.
Let's see. TIF12345678910 says, I love Tower Prep. You're a creative genius. Where did you get all your ideas? I stole them from Glenn Morgan.
Okay.
So there we go.
Yeah.
Our showrunner, who is the real creative genius, but, you know, I did come up with the name Tower Prep, so there is that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So you win.
TIF 1-10, and where do I come up with my ideas?
You told us. Next question.
Bounce them off other people. From Carlindale, can you please make a Tower Prep season 2 on DVD? done. There we go.
Yes.
Let's see. When will you hear back if anything about Tower Prep is coming back? Thanks for the use of your magic wand, by the way. Here you go.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Actually, can't make it for DVD, but I expect to know very soon about Tower Prep. Again, here's SN Naftej. Bro, get me some more Tower Prep. I love that show. I really love the show.
Paul, this is not my magic wand. This is a wooden spoon.
A wooden spoon?
Ha ha! Sucker! You just conjured up a bunch of dirty Q-tips at the local Baptist church!
Oh boy. Okay, so this is apparently not a box of Tower Prep Season 2. It's a box of used Q-tips. I didn't know our cookery did that. Did you enchant everything in the house?
I didn't mean to. I don't...
Well, you shouldn't leave your books unlocked, should you, lady? Oh,
you shouldn't leave the magic books around for you.
Yeah, I guess not. I'm sorry.
More Tower Prep. Yes, I'm working on it.
Next question.
Okay.
I don't want you to tip anything. There's really exciting stuff brewing, you guys.
Yes.
But just hang on.
S-Linus 27. Will any of the titles you work on at DC be affected by the changes in September? Yes. I know very little about what's going on at
DC.
Sounds
like everyone's lineup's being changed.
Everybody's lineup is being changed. So, yes. My last issue of Zatanna was number 13. I believe
that was a great run, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I love the book dearly. It was a lot of fun, and I love playing in that world. So I'm actually wrapped on Zatanna. I think they have some one-shot stories that are going to continue for about 2 or 3 months. And,
oh, very good.
And then I have not heard any more plans about the book. Hanu Dan says,
Dan?
Hanu Dan.
Oh, Hanu Dan.
Hanu Dan.
I was like, that's cool.
Love the Super
Hanu Dan is still cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Love the Super Rika and Rashi story drawn by Stephanie Gladden.
Oh, how nice. Thanks.
Any new comics with Monkeys, Deanies, Jing, Polly, or Ida Red coming? Yes, I'm working with Stephanie on some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
with Kevin on a brand new site.
Yes. And
There's some really cool stuff going on.
And with our friend Kevin McShane on a brand new site. And
Kevin McShane, fakestanlee.com.
Fakestanlee.com. It's wonderful.
Go look at him in costume.
Yeah, I guess this is as good a place as any to announce this. I kind of said I was going to do a strip with Kelso the Coyote a couple of weeks ago. I'm now going to do a Sunday strip with everybody, with mm-hmm. all the characters, and it's going to be kind of a Deanie Cartoons catch-all Sunday strip page, and I'm going to be working with Stephanie for as long as she can, her arm holds out. But I'm looking to do, starting probably in the fall, once a week, a Sunday page that involves all the characters, and sometimes it'll be Paul and Misty, sometimes it'll be Ida Red, and sometimes it'll be, and I guess closer to Christmas, it'll be Jingle Bell.
And you can come and see it, so don't tell them anymore.
So, yeah.
I'm just going to sit here and block as your wingman.
Okay, let's see.
So that they don't get everything. Until they... That
Adrian says, I'm sure others will be asking this, but what are your thoughts on Barbara becoming Batgirl again? I'll just have to see what the book is like when it comes out. I know Gail Simone is writing it.
Okay.
Can't wait to see it. Hey, when is he? Silly Sammy 4567.
Awesome name. Lots of numbers.
Silly
tonight.
Sammy. Silly I like Sammy. Silly Sammy. Hey, when is season 2 of Tower Prep come out? As soon as we can make it. Lindsay Wolf says, I have been watching volumes 2 and 3 of Batman all week while settling in my new house in New York.
Oh.
Not so much a question, just a statement.
But what a nice thing. Thank you, Lindsay.
But Lindsay, that is a wonderful way to spend your time. Thank you.
Yeah. if you do say so yourself.
Electric VO...
That's Daniel.
VO1. Daniel says...
Daniel.
I've always been curious, what is the music that opens and closes your podcast called, and who is it by?
Bert Camfort, Surfin' Safari.
Swingin' Safari by...
Oh, not Surfin' Safari.
No, that's by the Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys. I'm going to stop talking.
And it's the Bert Camfort one.
Bert Camfort's Swingin' Safari. Bert Camfort wrote a lot of great little... you know, instrumentals. And I remember his music most from when I was a kid, when TV was not as perfected as it was. And we'd have local channels. Sometimes, like, the film would break, and then they would go to a still graphic of, like, a rocking horse and some and some blocks or balloons. It would be Cartoon Party, you know, you know.
At Cartoon Town, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. And then, because Bert Camfort stuff, there's one called Tootsie Flootsie, or you know, that happy feeling.
Tootie Fruity something, isn't it?
It's like Tootie Flutie because it's flutes, you know. It's high-pitched, almost shrieky flutes, but it sounds like background music. So I'd be sitting there watching Huckleberry Hound, and the film would break, and then we'll be right back, and then they would go to that. Cool. The Matches says, where can I find said podcast? RadioRashi.com.
If he's asking.
Yeah. If he's asking.
He's not listening.
Yes.
That's kind of a moot question.
Yeah.
You'll have to just post it.
Let's see. Oh, this Fizz versus the World writes.
What?
Fizz versus the World writes.
Awesome Twitter names tonight.
Yep.
Awesome. Fizz versus the world. Yeah.
Will you be writing, asking me, will you be writing Zatanna post-Flashpoint? I'll have to wait and see. At this point, no, but you never say never. Thoughts on E3? I don't know. I'll be there tomorrow, so I'll get back to you on that. For Misty,
are you doing a panel or anything?
No, I'm just going to bum around.
Okay.
I'm going to waste some time and bum around. For Misty.
Oh, no.
What was the first trick that made you want to get into magic?
Pass.
The assistant got paid very well.
Yeah, that's
pretty well.
It was not so much a trick as it was a gig. I got...
Because you were singing prior to that.
Yeah, acting. I was singing a lot and acting. But I think I told this story, so I'll tell it really quick. There was a kid sitting next to me in a history class, looked at me and said, you know, you'd make a great Minnie Mouse. And I said, you know what? Shut up. And he said, no, seriously. I do kids' parties on the weekend, and I think you'd be good at it. Because I know you've got this musical theater background. I just think you could do it. And I said, I'm not interested. And he said, it's $250 an hour. And I said, I'm listening. And so years later, and so I started doing magic for birthday parties on and off. And then that kind of, the situation shifted over there. And so I left. And then years later, same guy called and said, I need an assistant for my magic show. And I said, I'm not interested. And he said, it's $500 a show. And I said, sign me up. And so that's how I got interested in magic. And that's awful. But it's true. It was completely entrepreneurial.
Was there anything that kept you there?
Yeah. What happened was we had, his name was Kevin, and he was kind of doing his own style. And I was like starting to have ideas. I kind of got bit by the bug. And after working with him for a little while, I was sort of like, you know, I'm kind of done with this. I had a good time. It was a good run. Go do your thing with your assistants. You know, like we just kind of had an artistic differences. Like, totally amicable. We're still friends now, but had a parting of the ways. And I couldn't stop listening to music and seeing magic happening in my head. And it was like I was listening to the Beetlejuice theme one night, and I just really liked it. And I was like, you know what? This would be so cool if this happened, and then that happened. And I started choreographing it in my head and writing routines. Yeah. And I thought, you know what? I am a magician. It's what I am. Oh, you know? And it was just like, okay.
See, a part of your brain is always on. Like, we'll go someplace, and you'll say, hey, that would be a great trick. You know, I know how I could make that that work. And then you'll come up with an idea, and then you'll pitch it to me, and you'll have, and you'll just see it, you know, in a way that nobody else will. And like when I'm writing, it'll be like, hey, you know what would be funny for this character? You know, we're constantly
We do all the time
working to each other's strengths.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Tyler and I were out in the workshop all week this week trying to come up. You know, like I came up with this trick about 3 or 4 years ago. And I thought, oh, this would be really neat. And I've got it written, you know, like this one thing has to happen up top. And then it starts off a chain reaction of magic. And I've got it figured out after the one thing happens all the way through the end. But that one thing I've been stumped on. And I've tried tons of different things, like dissolving paper, like all different kinds of ways of doing this. And none of it's working. And so we were out in the garage trying something else. And a friend of mine called and said, have you thought about doing it this way? I was like, oh my God, hello. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, like he helped me develop it, and I'm really excited to try it out. And that was totally vague, and I kind of said nothing, but it was just another further example of how the creativity juices are constantly flowing in this house.
Mm-hmm. Amy Veers writes, very silly question, but at Batman Beyond, why do all the cops have a 5 on their chest?
Hmm.
Do they? I don't know. I'll have to ask Glenn Murakami about that. He designed all the cops. I never noticed before. Maybe it's a stylized G or something. I don't know.
That makes sense because Gotham.
I don't know. I'll have to check that out because I never really noticed. Omuril says, "Were you involved in the writing for Batman Arkham City?" Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The
and
comic book series, the digital series, which I'm co-writing with Derek Friedolfs, and the game. I was very much involved in the story on that with Paul Crocker and the story team over at. Rocksteady in Europe. So if in Great Britain. So if you don't like it, I'm the one you throw your tomatoes at. Dermudtude says,
awesome.
That's got a great picture of a scowly guy. This guy is like
excellent.
Ebenezer Scrooge or something. Dermudtude. Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like scary guy.
Nosferatu.
This looks like one of the guys who's been writing to Rashi. I think Rashi, this is one of your clients here.
Yeah, well, just tell him to send me a message and PayPal is payment in.
Yep. Okay. Oh, here's one. Was your pal Arlene not available for your The Batman episode, or was she not asked or for whatever reason? Sometimes, you know, with established characters, a different creative team comes in and they just want to go a different way with the character. Mm-hmm. And that's happened a few times with Harley Quinn. So sometimes it's Arlene, sometimes it's not. Sometimes the producer says, well, the character is going to be a little harsher, so I want her to go this way. or we want to do some different things with her. You know, it's like, it's all the producer's prerogative in a case like that.
But Arlene is definitely a fan favorite and everyone's favorite, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
She's definitely Paul Dini's favorite.
Oh, yeah. My favorite.
Am I putting words in your mouth, or is that true?
No. Arlene is absolutely irreplaceable.
Aw.
In my mind.
Well, she was kind of the genesis of the character, wasn't she? Weren't you watching her on TV when you came up with the idea?
Well, yeah, I've told the story a few times. I was writing the story, Joker's Favor, and I wanted the Joker to have this gang. And at first I was thinking of this kind of just a broad in a leather jacket and sunglasses who was sort of like, yeah, boss, yeah. And then you know, kind of cold and harsh. And then Arlene was on Days of Our Lives doing a sequence, like a fantasy sequence as a jester. And I was homesick and I was watching her and I was going like, boy, it'd be funny if the Joker had somebody like that as a sidekick who actually was getting laughs when he wouldn't and he'd get really angry. So I came up and I ran the character by Alan Burnett and he said that sounded really funny. So I put the character in and it was also sort of a callback to like 60s Batman where they would have hench girls, you know,
yes,
like
the
all
Bat the... family.
What?
The Bat family you're talking about? Like the Batwoman?
It was more like the hench girls. Like you would see, you know, Riddler had Jill St. John in the first episode as sort of like the girl gone wrong. And even Catwoman had a girl hench girl, you know? And occasionally there would be girls who just fell in, you know, to a life of crime for whatever reason and were following along bad guys. And, you know, Batman would always say, you know, poor deluded soul as he took her off to jail at the end after he got rid of the main supervillain. Sometimes they'd be led astray or they would regret their actions, but there was a little bit of that in Harley Quinn and then she just sort of took off.
How'd you come up with Arlene? I mean, Harleen, was that because of her or was it because of you were just spreading out Harley Quinn?
I wanted a name that was sort of like fun and clownish, so I looked at it and, you know, there's Harley Quinn, and I mentioned this before, there's Columbine, but Columbine doesn't shorten anything. You know, Columbine.
Also not really hilarious.
Also not really hilarious 10 years ago. No, yeah. So that would have been a poor choice. But Columbine doesn't mean anything. Harley Quinn, actually, Harley is a cute name for a girl. It's a cute name for anybody, really.
Kevin Smith would agree.
Yes, he would. And he apparently has.
Yeah, so, it's his daughter's name.
It just seems to sort of fit the spirit of the character. And even though there had been a Harlequin in comics before as a villainous and also love interest of the original Green Lantern, it was the Harlequin. So I just split the name Harley Quinn, and that made it, you know, different enough. So
now, when you spread it out to Harlene Quinzel, was Arlene Sorkin part of the inspiration for that?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, you know,
because it's spelled the same way that she.
Well, it's Harlene Francis Quinzel. It's Arlene Francis Sorkin. You know, it's.
Well, I don't think that's a little bit, dude.
Well, I mean, that shows you how creative I am. You know, it's just sort of.
Oh, like, doesn't want to
give that away. Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like, oh, that's easy. Well, the name sort of sounds alike. I'll just make it the same, and it's a tribute rather than lazy writing.
It is a tribute.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and she's got pictures of Harley all over her house. And every time the kids, like, you know, like they're, she's got tons of merchandise and things all over that have been given to her over the years, or, you know, as gifts, or, you know, as part of a promotional. And Owen, I remember, I used to teach her kids magic lessons.
Yeah.
And we were walking through the house, and he goes, "Yeah, it's my mom." And he just kind of, you know, put his thumb up at the wall. And so she's always your Harley. No matter how she's cast, she's Paul Dini's Harley.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really pretty. They've been friends for so long.
Yeah, we've been, you know,
and she's just amazing.
We went to Emerson College. I mean, just about the same time. I think she had actually moved on by. I think we crossed over by a semester.
How'd you meet her? You remember?
Might have encountered her at Emerson, but she was like, her last semester was my first semester there. Then she went to New York, and then years later, she linked up with a friend of mine, with my friend from theater class, Beth Bornstein, because Beth was in New York, and then they kind of, Arlene was in a group called, a comedy group called High Heeled Women.
And, back in the Gold LeMay Boots days.
And then she put out a parody of Jane Fonda.
Okay.
And called Plain Jane's Workout back when in the mid-80s. And I think that's where Beth knew her from, and so she knew of her, and then Arlene moved out to California, and then I just was running in a group of Emerson students, alumni and graduates and stuff like that. So we just, you know, got to meet each other and know each other through there.
I have to say, she is one of the most effective and productive individuals I have ever had the delight
of. Well, we'll get her on the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, she is just, we really should. We'll probably have to do a phone-in because she is that busy.
Okay. Yes.
But she's just constantly snapping her fingers and people are running around doing the most amazing things. Sitting there talking to her and she's like, oh, and she gets a phone call and she picks up the phone and I said, who is that? You know, because we're just having a conversation. And she goes, oh, it's the president of NBC. Just hang on.
And married to and married to the wonderful Chris Lloyd, one of the creators of Modern Family.
And Frasier.
Frasier and both those great. You know, talk about a powerhouse couple. I mean, you know. Chris is one of the funniest guys in the world. He's also the straightest guy in the world. He's one of these guys who says something that is so funny, but with a total straight face that is just devastating.
He's hysterical. And he's not he's not performing funny. It's like Paul said, he's just so dry and it'll just fall, like brilliance just falls out of his mouth like the, you know, proverbial gems. And they just land on the table and you go, oh my God.
We were supposed to go to the Tim Burton art exhibit last week, and then that fell through because kind of bad timing and everything, but it's but we'll reschedule when I get back from England.
To wrap this up. How many more questions?
Let's see. A.E. Melton says, I'm worried. We've heard nothing about you in the DC releases. I need my Dini fix. Well, I'm still very working on Arkham City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got a couple of issues of that. And after that, we'll see.
Two will be out by this podcast. So.
Jorge Gumer. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Jorge.
Sure thing. Is there a way to stop entropy? No. And where can I listen to the podcast? Yes, listen to the podcast. That will stop entropy.
Yes,
it'll seem time will not be winding down. Time will have stopped.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got 34 ways to stop entropy, and it's called the Paul and Misty podcast. So listen to Radio Rashi. And stop entropy. Stop time from winding down.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Zachulies wants to know, as did Ben, what do you use for your theme song? That's Swingin' Safari.
It wasn't Ben, it was Daniel.
Yes.
They are different people.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Daniel. They just hang out together. I'm sorry.
But hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Ben and Daniel are friends.
And our old pal, Trungle Fever, wants to know. Trungle Fever.
I remember.
Trungle has written us every week, and here's a picture. Or a picture of somebody purporting to be Trungle Fever.
Oh, my God.
It's a nice red shirt.
Yeah, it is. He's wearing Bizarro's performing costume.
Yeah.
I know.
I wonder if he knows
Bizarro. I've got a friend named Bizarro, the magician, who does not spell it like Superman. He spells it the other way, which he would say is the proper way.
When we were working on Tower Prep, Darren Morgan thought it was the funniest thing in the world is that you had a magician friend named Bizarro.
My mom used to tease me when I first started doing magic because my magic mentor's name was Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And then I would have people calling the house named Uncanny and Bizarro. And my mom's like, did you join some twee nerd biker gang? Like, who are these people? Twee nerd. She's like, what is going on with all these twits called out? And I was like, I gotta get a cell phone.
They haven't invented
it. Oh, it's Bizarro, it's Scorpio, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Misty was no better to their mothers. Although, actually I was going to say most magicians don't live with their moms, but yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. So, were you going to say something else about Darren Morgan loving Bizarro's name?
He just loved Bizarro's name. He would always say, so when is Bizarro coming back? Can I see Bizarro? Well, he's here today, but I don't know where Darren is.
So sad. Darren probably doesn't know where Darren is.
Darren knows where Darren is. Darren's on a...
Darren is one of
on a wonderful plane of existence.
Darren has... He not only is he a phenomenal writer and a tremendously nice and amazing human being, but that man has more moxie and cool credo than any other human being I have ever met in my life.
Those episodes of The X-Files he wrote.
He is unbelievable. His work is top-notch, but he lives this silent rock star lifestyle. He walked into the Tower Prep premiere with this broad on his arm... And it was like she stepped out of the pages of Vogue and DC Comics combined. I mean, this woman was stacked and stunning and brilliant. She was really funny and she was really smart. And I was like, damn. I mean, she was like the perfect woman.
I'm sorry, you just described yourself as well, you know?
Oh, well, that's very nice. But this chick had it going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and Darren Morgan's got it going on and you would never know. He's so quiet and unassuming. He just slips in and slips out of the room. I bet he plays no pass at the craps table. He's that cool.
He's amazing and one of the best. Both him and Glenn, best writers I ever worked with. They're just amazing. Back to our poor ignored friend Trungle Fever.
Oh yeah.
What is your favorite pizza?
Oh.
Should I answer that during the Avenir weeks? What? Should have answered that during the Avenir weeks. We were living off that 3 weeks.
Yeah, except, that's right, that one piece, right? You only got the one piece to nibble on. We had pizza the other day that was the best pizza I have ever
had. The spaghetti pizza.
Spaghetti pizza.
Ooh. From Dino's Pizza here in Burbank. They make a spaghetti pizza.
Dino's makes a spaghetti
pizza? It's a carb lover's dream. They have a pizza.
We'll get it next week.
Pizza dough, and then they put on that sauce, and then spaghetti, and then cheese, and more sauce. It's like, it sounds like it would be awful, but it's actually quite good. I mean, it expands your gut as you're eating it.
All Geno's is really good.
It is the canticle of carbo loading.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, your favorite, you know.
Can you tell I've been playing Kingdom of Loathing? those other five of you that play.
All right, let's do round robin. Ezra, favorite pizza?
It would have to be pepperoni and mushrooms.
Oh.
Pesto pizza.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Pesto pizza. Oh, hello. That's pepperoni. Well, I like pepperoni and green peppers on mine. But I also like thin crust pizza with just cheese because I like to dip it in ranch dressing because I'm just disgusting. And anybody who went to college in Michigan probably does the same thing.
Sabariga? Banana jalapeno. Okay.
Ew.
Rashi?
Lasagna! Shut up!
There is a lasagna pizza. Is the lasagna pizza or just lasagna?
I didn't know. I'm done talking to you.
Okay. Hobart? Wallaby. Okay, all right. I eat a pizza that no other human being would eat. Like, I ordered it at John's Pizzeria in New York when we were there around Christmas. All right, get this. No other human being can stand this pizza. It's a large, thin crust with hot diced cherry peppers, anchovies, extra garlic, and there was some pineapple.
It's going to take me 3 weeks to unscrew my face from this expression.
I know. I was gagging while I said it.
The only thing that turns me off really is the pineapple. It just doesn't seem to go with the anchovy to me.
No, it's hot, sour, and sweet all together.
Oh, okay. I guess I see that.
I always have these weird combinations of pizza. Like, the waitress walked away going, yuck. And wouldn't even look at the pizza when she brought it back. She brought you back.
Well, this from the man who's eaten durian food,
yeah,
which apparently smells like hot poop.
When we were in Japan, we ordered a Japanese Domino's.
Okay. Oh, really?
Because one of the family members worked at a Domino's, so we wanted to try it. And they had a seafood pizza that was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Nuts to the seafood pizza. It was one with mayo and
I thought that was the seafood. It was mayo sauce and potato slices. In fact, I've had a potato slice pizza. They work out wonderfully.
Wow.
Yeah, because there's something about the flavor of the potato with a pizza sauce, and you'd use a white sauce usually or something like that. But yeah, it's good.
Wow.
I changed my answer to that.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. I remember about a year ago, John Crispolusi and I went for pizza, and it was like, this is delicious. What is it? He goes, cheese. Cheese, you say.
That wild guy.
Cheese.
What is this? Cheese.
Cheese with a little sauce, and those are basil leaves. Yeah. And I'm going, cheese and basil, it's wonderful. And then I'm going, like, well, why did I eat all that nuclear waste of pizzas? Whenever I eat, like, pineapple hot peppers, you know, anchovies. You know,
when I was in Europe, I went through a margarita pizza phase where it's just the basics.
That's good. I'll tell you, that's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best. Margarita pizza. Maybe with a little bit of anchovy. Margarita pizza is really good. I mean, it's like I'd always sort of poo-pooed it before, but then I was like, oh god, the plainer the better. You kind of gotta go with that.
Hey, we're at 45 minutes.
And I think that's it.
Twitter. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, cool.
Oh wait a minute, let me check. Oh, there might be one last one. Let's see.
He just can't
Fortress
goodbye.
Of Cool. Fortress of Cool is wearing a Superman
Fortress
shirt.
Of Cool. What is going on with your Twitter names? These are spectacular.
Let's see. I really got to know what you think of this entire DC reboot stuff. Like the rest of Comicdom Assembled, we'll find out in September, and then we'll let you know.
Yeah, that's been my best answer, too. A couple people have asked me. I'm like, when it comes out, that's when I'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's see.
Yeah, continuity is for wimps.
Oh, yeah, you had a t-shirt made with that on it, didn't you? And Chafro says, wow, very cool. Well, I hope you enjoy your time. Or I guess he's referring to an earlier tweet about me being in London. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going over to see a show at the Barbican Museum. It's called, it's on Watch Me Move, an animation.
It's an animation exhibit. His exhibit. They're looking at bringing it to Detroit, and Paul is their animation expert. So he's flying over to spend a couple days there and take a look and advise the art historians on...
Meaning my sister.
Yeah, but she's a pretty big monkey monkey.
No, she is. She's a big deal.
She's a very well-renowned scholar and academic, and she's asked his opinion, and she wants him to come over as a reference and say, you know, take a look at this and see if this makes sense and if you think it has broad appeal. And
from what I've seen of it, it looks terrific. It looks like there's an equal smattering of historical stuff and contemporary stuff, American animation, European animation.
Wonderful.
It sounds very comprehensive and exciting. So you'll have to tell us all about it when you come home. When I return, baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we gotta go.
Anything else to say? Anybody got anything? Nope.
I just love everybody.
You can find us at Facebook at / Radio Rashi if anybody's looking for us.
All those people that are like, where the hell are you?
Questions, yeah.
Yeah.
And on the weird chance, the almost impossible against all its chance, there's a listener out there who has a live female thylacine.
Oh, damn it.
This has been another episode of RadioRashi.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, let us know. You can leave comments and reviews on iTunes or directly on RadioRashi.com. We're also now on social network sites like Twitter and Facebook. Leave us questions or just like us. And don't forget, tell your friends.